This is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Now then, let's enter into worship service. And this morning, as we're on the subject of pride, by the way, I want to say this before we get in this worship service. I'm not preaching this morning. I just am not. Because it's a subject, pride, and the problems of pride, of being like the Lord Jesus, it's just overwhelming. Now, when the Apostle Paul was out planting churches, he came to one place, he stayed a while. He went to the synagogue and he preached Christ, and people got saved. And those people that got saved, he said, we're going to have a school Tyrannus. They rented a building, and he taught them the Word of God. This morning I hope to teach. That's what I plan to do. I don't plan to preach salvation, but the gospel will be given, as it is every service here. But the purpose is some teaching for us. How about the preacher? Man, is he going to need some instruction this morning? So you include the preacher in this service this morning. And I think all preachers, the message ought to go through them before it goes out. And so I want you to be in prayer. This is a very, very important subject. In fact, if you goof off in your mind, you ought to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Because the preacher said it was very important. It's in your word. And here I am goofing off in my mind thinking about other things. I hope you won't do that. So, all right, let's come. Let's sing of a wonderful love first. That's 669. You know, at our best, we're only sinners saved by grace. And hymn number 698 does a great job in explaining to us what it's all about. This morning, I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. And Brother Dan's going to read this passage for us, verses 35 through 45. And I tell you, friends, it's quite an incident about what it means to be Christ-likeness. Mark, chapter 10, verses 35 through 45, all right?
And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him, and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it be not, or so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many.
Amen. This is the word of God that has just been read. I'd like us to sing one more hymn before we have prayer and then the study of God's word. It is hymn number 724, and that is To Trust Him. Heavenly Father, we're grateful this morning that we can come into your presence through the blessed Lord Jesus' work at Calvary, and that you hear us. In spite of our failures and sins, Lord, that you look upon us as children, and we need to confess our sins. because you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Father, for that. We're here this morning because we want to bring honor and glory to you, and so we're asking for help. Help in the matter of the study and myself, and that we might be able to explain these things that, Lord, will be having eternal benefit and for ears that are open to hear the truth and open hearts so that we might be obedient children. So thank you for this time this morning. Thank you for the time this past week of watching over each one of us and blessing us in so many ways. Undoubtedly, Lord, if we really saw the situations as we went about, that there were times that we were not cognizant of how you cared for us, safety, in every aspect, spiritually and mentally and physically. And so we're coming this morning to give thanks. Thanks for the work that's been done in that parking lot so that we might have comfort in coming and bless the men there. Help them. Thank you for them. Thank you, Lord, for folk that have put effort into having a place whereby we can worship, sing these blessed hymns unto our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us, took our place at the cross of Calvary, shed his precious blood, suffered. And so that we might have the bliss, eternal bliss in heaven. Look upon us this morning. We have needs. We would think of Brother Jim Thomas with us and down with the cold and with his other conditions, physically speaking. We pray you look upon him and his family. We would pray for this young man, Kevin Jones. Lord, as he's been in this accident and he has his hip, and we pray that you would be ministering to him, and that, Father, you created him, and we desire his salvation. We desire help for him, and we especially ask that you would draw him to yourself. And then we would think of young Joshua with his broken arm. We pray for him this morning. Lord, once again, we don't understand all these matters, but we know that thou art God and your ways are not our ways, but we ask for your best. Help us. Once again, we pray for the rest of this day, that this is your day, not just this morning, but the whole day. Help us to honor you, and may we be blessed. And may you be working each of our lives, that we might be more like our blessed Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us. Amen. Please be seated. Let's turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Now, I know that we were in Ephesians, and we are still in Ephesians. How well did Mark's Gospel? Mark's not Ephesians. Well, it has to do with that we are created after the image of our Lord Jesus. And so we want to be like him. And we have this strange situation. Boy, is it a strange one. But it's so common. As far as I'm concerned, it's very common. What's the commonness about this? Well, if you're going to open your heart, friend, I got news for you. All of us are going to be touched by this account if you open your heart. I thought I would do something this morning which I normally don't do and don't remember of doing it of recent times. But I said, as a school of Tyrannus, this is a school this morning, I'm going to read some passages. And if you were my students, let's say this was the homework, that you would have read these passages before coming to class. But I didn't give it to you. So I'm going to take some time and read some passages on this business of, well, the problems of pride in being more like the Lord Jesus Christ, the problems that we have. So, I have a few scripture verses. I want you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew. I'll go slow enough. Where are we going? Matthew 23. And what are we going to do? We're going to read some relevant passages so the preacher isn't accused of saying, boy, he made that one up. I'll tell you, he made that one up. Really? What does the Word of God say about this problem with our pride? Verses 5 through 12 in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. He's talking here about the religious people. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And they love the uppermost rooms at the feast and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the market and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi. For one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren, all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You know, we could just meditate upon that for a few minutes and go home if we really got the point. How to be more Christ-like. Well, let's go to the Gospel of Luke. Now, we had Mark read to us, the 10th chapter. Brother Dan read that to us. And so I'm not going to read that again as such, but we're going to go over that passage. But in Luke's Gospel, chapter 14, I want us to read some verses along the same line so you get the general picture. Not just pick out a passage and preach on it. We want to see what our Lord Jesus says about this matter. So in the 14th chapter of Luke, I begin to read at verse 7. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden. And when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him, and he that bade him, and him come and say to thee, give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest rooms, or lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Are we still on the same page, friends, about pride, putting one first, me first? If you're going to be Christ-like and say, I'm a Christian. You are a Christian? Okay. Now let's go into the epistles, where, well, like Romans chapter 12, just three verses in Romans chapter 12, and I could read more, but I, for time's sake, I'm going to just read a few verses in this 12th chapter to us. Now, start out by reading verse 3. Now listen, apply it to her. I apply it to myself. You apply it to yourself. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more haughty than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man in measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Verse 10. Be kindly, affectionate, one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. verse 16. Be of the same mind one together. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. We're going to look at that word conceits. Well, that's a word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I start to read it, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now back to Ephesians, where we have been spending some time. Ephesians chapter 1, and I start with verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I wonder if you got a little picture of what we hope to achieve here this morning. Just a little bit of a view. Now, all of us have worked secularly, but I like to see hands once in a while. How many of you have ever filled out an application for employment? Oh, good. How many of you ever have written a resume? Call them up. Yeah. How many has ever read that personal section in some of the newspapers where people are notifying that they are a certain kind of people, they're beautiful and they're healthy and they love to do this and love to do that and looking for this? How many have ever looked at one of those personal sections in some time in history? You mean you never read one? Well, I don't make a practice. I didn't say that. Have you ever read a personal section in a newspaper at the back of people who are desirous of finding a companion? You say, well, that's not right. Well, no, be careful. You think you're so pious that you wouldn't read something like that? But it's fascinating. What's my point? My point is the exact opposite of Mark chapter 10. What do you mean? The Lord's saying, that's just not the way you do it if you're going to be a Christian. You just, you're not to show your highlights and your achievements, how great you are. You've never showed any pride that way, have you? How wonderful you are. You know, I have a little string. You know that hymn that's, how great thou art? Now, it's something bothers me about it. You say, what's wrong? Isn't it good words? Yeah. But somehow or other, I see people kind of looking at each other, and I'm not everybody's on the same line. And I kind of judge this, that people are thinking how great I am. Oh, you're wrong. I hope I am. But how great I am! The Lord Jesus said, oh, no, a follower of mine. That's not the way. James and John, you boys, hey, something's wrong here. We show our pride by different ways. I got to get a bigger and better car, don't I? And I got to do this for the house, don't we, ladies? Hey, I got to get some clothes that look right, don't I? Huh? I got to get a job where I can really make out some money so people know I'm successful, don't I? What are you pointing up there for? Is really that's the Christian way? Let me tell you something. Most of us were taught by Caesar's school, the government school, and they said that's the way to be successful, so you can actually legitimately brag and boast. And if you do it this way, the worldly way, the cultural way, that's the thing that counts, not your Bible way. And so we walk around as Christians, say, I know the Lord, and yet it seems like I'm just right with James and John. Me first. Don't you know who I am? Young girls, and I taught school, so I know what I'm talking about. They're desirous that, well, the most popular boys look at me, and I've dated a number of them. So I must be somebody. I've dated some of the most popular boys in school. And the boys, sorry, they show how great studs they were and how they have accomplished and how many of them. No, no, you're wrong, preacher. Okay. James, he wanted to be number one. And in admiration and authority, and he said to the Lord, I want to be number one. And they said, now, it's all right. Lord, you be the boss, but let us be by your side. And here it is, that very thing that you and I have to fight. Now, I must share this with you. You say, I don't know where you're coming from. You don't know where I'm coming from? Did you ever study about Adam before he fell? He was perfect. And he was told he must obey the law, that God said, do not eat of that tree. And he ate of that tree, and he fell, and God no longer walked with him and talked with him. And we, through the matter of posterity, we receive that old nature of being just like old fallen Adam. We want to do it our way. And the Lord Jesus said, no, I'm telling you, that is not right. It's the old nature. Well, I've been given a new nature. Hallelujah. A new nature. A new creature in Christ. All things become new. Old things have passed away. But I want to tell you something. That's a real battle. How you doing? You really think that you look like, act like the Lord Jesus? Do you really? The Bible says that we're to take on the image of Christ. Lord, I don't mind you being top man. Where are you getting this? Chapter 10 of Mark. I don't mind you being top man, Lord. And you can be boss as long as you do what we ask. No. You reading that in there. Well, you better look at it again. They said, verse 35. James and John, the sons of Zebedee. By the way, I could show you from another passage that more or less mom put them up to this. Moms wouldn't do that. You careful, mom. My girl. Anyway, they said you should do this. They said, Master, that means teacher. We would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. Master, you be number one, but we want to be. Just as long as you do what we ask you to do. How could they possibly make such a statement when he's telling about we're going to Jerusalem? On the way to Jerusalem, he said he's going to suffer and die there. And he said, well, when you get to the kingdom, why, we'd like to have seats on the right and left. Topmost place. Something's wrong. Sounds like carnality, old nature, just like us. Something's wrong. We don't have it together. They didn't have it together, and they walked with the Lord. Boy, sometimes you wonder. So Jesus said in verse 35, especially have you look at that, the last part. We would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire, or whatever you ask. Let us be number one over the rest of the humanity. Huh? Let us be number one over the rest of humanity, he's saying, in the kingdom. If you sit by your right on the left, you be the boss. Well, he says, well, what would you have me to do for you? Verse 36. They said, well, grant that we may sit the one on the right side and the hand and the other on the left hand in glory. By the way, they are brothers. They are blood brothers, James and Peter. James and John, I mean. They're blood brothers, sons of Zebedee. Sons of Zebedee, brothers. He said, well, you don't know what you're talking about, but what about this, he says, verse 38. Jesus said unto them, you don't know what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? And they said, yeah, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. That's a rebuke. Do you like someone to tell you, you know something, you've got some problems? You don't like to have anybody tell you a problem. Your wife tells you something, say, you know, you need to understand. Your kids. The kids are probably the best critics if they open up on you. But as a husband, you may say to your wife, you know, wife, you know, we've got some problems. So that hurts. That hurts. He said, I'm going to be baptized. Well, you already were baptized by John the Baptist. Lord, I don't know what you're talking about, baptism. The cup is, spiritually speaking, it talks about suffering. And he said, this suffering is going to be such a extent that it's like being in a baptism. What? It is so overwhelming. The word baptism means to immerse. To be plunged in such great depth of pain and sorrow. The whole thing, the whole world sin upon him. And to be forsaken of the Father. Like a baptism of suffering. So you fellows think that, yeah, well, you think you could do that? He said, you don't know what you even ask. I said, yes, we can. He said, I'll tell you what, ye shall indeed drink the cup that I drink of. Tell me about James. History of James, please. Herod killed him. Yeah, it's in the book. John, exiled in the Isle of Patmos. But you don't know the full story there because he was mistreated, abused, and he had a hard time. Be careful where your pride leads you, my friend. Yeah, I can be a Christian and I can do all this and I'm great. I am so great. I let everybody see it. You be careful. And I be careful. This isn't just for you, it's for me too. Oh, but we have this example of the Lord Jesus. What's the example there? He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I'm going to be baptized, plunged into the horriblest pain and agony, forsaken. And he said, that's what it means. That's the supreme. That's suffering. That is the right way to think about being who you are, to be identified with Christ. Lord, you answered that. That's a rebuke, isn't it, Lord? He said, it's a rebuke. I wonder if James and John got it. I wonder if we get it when we read a passage like this and we continue on as we do. I tell you, He said what we need to do is to share in his power by serving. Wow. By what? By serving. We read that in the scripture this morning. And that is verse 45. So that even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. You're not here to be served. No, but you're here to do as you'd be a follower of Christ, and you are to minister, you are to serve. No, it's not you, it's not me, it's not myself, it's you. You are to serve. You're a servant. I like what one brother said to me. He gave me a rebuke. He said, listen, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these other things be added unto you. We need to seek God first. I said, amen, brother. But are we? It's one thing to preach it, but are we seeking God first? It's easy to preach things. It's nothing to be a practice of it. You know, we're to share, as Christians, we're to share by serving. And that it even includes some things that you may not really want to talk about. Humbling experiences. Verse 39. And they said unto him, we can. And Jesus said unto them, ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism I am baptized withal, shall ye be baptized. One time Winston Churchill was explaining where mankind is just all worms. And he could do that because he was an orator as the great Prime Minister of England years ago. But after he was done saying all about how all mankind is worms, he said, but I want to tell you, I am a glowworm. And that's just the way a lot of us are. We can talk about these things, how mankind is, and we'll say, but I am a glowworm. Are you a glowworm? If you're a glowworm, the Bible says that if you want to be great, this is verse 43, but so shall ye not be among you, but whosoever will be great. You want to be great? Yep. I want to be a great. Whoever will be great among you shall be your minister or servant. I tell you, the fellows, they weren't very happy when these two fellows asked to have that position. And other people say, it wasn't fair. You know, all these years I've served the Lord and I don't give any acknowledgement. It isn't fair. And so verse 41, they spoke up, the other 10 disciples, and they said, they didn't like it. They said, verse 41, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Who do they think they are? We also serve the Lord too. And so here we got a pride problem. Who's number one? In the weight of the way of the world, in the way you were taught, except I don't know many of you went to Christian schools. Even in Christian schools, I don't believe they have this. I got a brochure from a school and they're bragging about Colonel May and how great he has been and in his service as a chaplain. How great. Well, you know, give him honor where honor is due. I believe the Bible teaches that. But I'll be careful of this business of how great I am. And who's the boss? Huh? Who's the slave? Come on. Read the passage. Who's the boss? Who's the slave? Well, the boss is the one who serves. Yes. So, our blessed Lord was despised and rejected. I can't sometimes get this straight. Can you get this straight? Can you really get this straight? Can you imagine before the foundation of the world, before anything, there's Jesus Christ. He was not in body form. And he's the triune God, the second person of the Trinity. And the God came and took upon him flesh like ours. Way up there, coming down here. And I want to show tonight perhaps how all these things that you and I experience. You say, well, I don't believe the Lord understands this. Don't you kid yourself. How much do you know what the Lord went through besides the cross of Calvary? How he lived, even as those years that the Bible doesn't speak about him. There's enough there to be concluded, though, I believe. Anyway, and to think there to hear to the cross. That's not the end. Praise God. The cross is not the end, but the cross is something to be seen. How glorious is the cross. I glory in the cross of Christ Jesus. Glory in it. And then he died on that cross and was buried, rose again 3 days, ascended up into heaven, went back, sits at the right hand of authority and power. Wonderful story. And brother, if you saved this morning, you'll say, I'm so glad he came down and took my place. I deserved hell because I have the Adamic nature. And I know that if there wasn't Christ, I would die and go to hell. He took my place. He took my punishment. And he paid for it on the cross. And not only did he die on the cross, he buried, he rose again, ascended to heaven, sits at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us old sinners. Whew. Well, you know, I ought to turn to Philippians. You say, well, why didn't you read it when you're going through? Well, it wouldn't hurt to turn to Philippians. We studied this book together, but the second chapter of Philippians. You need to look at that again as we did before. What does it say? It's talking about the matter of how our Lord became so humble. And you say, I'm a Christ follower. You are. Good. Then you need to hear this again. And in this in this second chapter, I start with verse 3. Try to see through this. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Can't do that, preacher. I don't even like to be around somebody that doesn't know anything. Well, see, you have a problem, don't you? Yeah, we do. Verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's me, number one, I have to look after. Is that right? Well, what's the Bible say? Verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ? Tell me about it. Well, it's like this, verse 6. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. He did? I'm going to stop there. I can do that. You remember at that Last Supper together before he died, he took off his robe, took a towel, tied it around himself, took that basin of water, he washed their feet. Who? Those disciples that included Judas. He washed their feet. There are some Christians, they believe there's an ordinance of foot washing. There is an ordinance, but not a church ordinance. That is to consider others better than yourself and humble yourself. Instead of saying, oh, I'm somebody, that person doesn't know beans. He didn't go to school. He doesn't know how to do anything. Can't work with his hands. What good is he? He's nothing but a drunkard, nothing but a druggie, nothing but an immoral person. I don't want anything to do with such crap. Filth. Well, see, you don't know what being a Christian is all about if you listen to these verses. Oh, I don't want to touch anything. No, I don't even know where I left off. I'll go back. He says, but made himself, verse 7 of Philippians 2, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, wonderful, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This is God, my friend, God in the flesh. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. What a wonderful Savior. He said, I want there to be little Jesus walking around. Pardon me? I'd like to have some little Jesuses walking around. Well, don't look at me. But some people have arrived, they think. They've arrived. Got to get into that problem before I quit. Equal with the Father, yes. Took on the servant's nature, yes. Humbled himself to a horrible death, yes. And then he redefines something. He redefines the meaning of greatness. You want to hear something about greatness? Then make sure your definition is right. Get your definition right. See, pride comes in all kinds of shapes. You say, well, it comes from me like this and this. A man said to me some years ago, he said, pray for me. I got a problem with pride. And I thought to myself, what's he got to be proud about? I don't see how he could be proud. But we have all different problems with pride. Yours is not the same as mine. And you may not even know yours is a problem, because you were taught otherwise. Yeah. Anyway, but the most obvious problem is boasting. Now, years ago at another church, I had a man who was not a member of the church. He was a visitor. And, you know, you talk about preachers. That's pretty easy to do. You know the preacher. This man talked about one of the board members. He said, so-and-so is a board member? I said, yeah. He is the most conceited fellow I've ever seen. Oh! It about blew me away. And then I thought to myself, what does it mean? What does it mean that to be conceited? So, just in case I don't want to make a mistake, I get the collegiate dictionary out, so we get top. The word conceited, and get this now, you may not know that you're conceited. As far as an adjective, it means self-importance. Don't you know who I am? Self-importance. It means you're vain. It means arrogant. In fact, he even said that. Not, he said he's one of the most arrogant guys I've ever met. Wouldn't that be something if somebody comes, hey, preacher, I want to tell you something. I talked to the guy, and he said he believes you're really conceited. And as far as he's not, he said, the only thing, he said, you're an arrogant person. I got blown out of a situation one time. I was in Greek class, and I was working full-time in seminary, and so after a period of time, I took Greek, and then I realized I couldn't do all that memorization, work 40 hours a week. So I quit the Greek class. Professor Vallenstock said to a very friend of mine, he said, well, Robbins, now you're getting something. He said, Robbins, he said, I just kind of think that perhaps he's a rather proud fella. And my best friend told me, he said, Professor Vallenstock says he thinks you're proud. You may not even know you're conceited. You may not even know you're arrogant. Cocky. Or as the word is, narcissus. That means love oneself. What's the story about Narcissus? It's a mythology. He looked in a pond, I believe, and he saw how wonderful he was. He kept looking and looking and looking and looking. He'd starve to death. Why? Just looking at himself, how beautiful he was, looking and looking and looking. It also has the word egotistical. I, me, mine. It has also the word immodest, vainglorious, swollen head. We often say he's got a big head, doesn't he have a big head? Big-headed. So informally, the dictionary says, he's just one who is full of himself. Too big for his britches. Too big for his britches. I thought him conceited and arrogant. And they said the opposite is to be modest and humble. Opposite, unassuming and self-effacing. No problems here with, no problems at all, dear friends, with pride. No problems. Hey, you might have a problem. I don't have a problem. I'm sorry if we act like that. I don't even believe we're Christians. I don't believe you really know the Lord. I don't believe you have the Spirit of God if you think that you're God's gift to mankind and you're such a wonderful person. And you look in the mirror and say, boy, I am really a great guy. You say, what are you going to do about people who aren't, that don't have self-confidence? Well, they make up for other ways. If you don't have self-confidence, you make it up for other ways. I know some guys that make it up other ways. Do you know who your favorite three persons are? Who are your favorite three persons? Well, I don't know. Me, myself, and I. That's your favorite three persons. No man hateth himself. You take care of yourself. Me, myself, and I. And yet we say, if you really want joy, you don't go that route. It's joy means Jesus, others, and then you. Jesus is first. Joy, others, and you. Do we need this kind of talk? I do. I do. Here in this, we can still be conceited, showing people how great we really are. We're just great people. Yes. You know, in the United States, and this teacher can tell you, we're not doing all that great academically. We may be doing fine, you know, as far as sports, but go down country, they beat us. But anyway, students think that they're pretty good students. And I noticed academically that they're dumbing down the colleges and the universities as far as grades. And it's true. Check me out. You can get an A easier than you could some years ago. But we kind of have the idea we Americans are pretty good at math. Look at our business. We're good at math. Some of you really have been good in math. But as far as internationally, we're not rated very high as far as knowing math. But we think we are. We Americans. We're pretty good stuff. Yes. So for most people, there is deadly pride. And there's a lot of problems. And the Lord Jesus said, now, James and John, you guys are out in left field by doing this to the Lord Jesus. And he rebukes them, but he does it very kindly. They said, well, we can do it. And he said, okay, you'll do it. And they suffered. The Bible also speaks in two different places, in James and also in Proverbs 3, that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So if you think that being proud is going to be really profitable for you, the Bible says that God opposes you, but he gives grace to the humble. You know, what it really does, it keeps God out of our lives. What do we need God for? I got a good job, don't I? Making good money? Got a house? Got tax? We got tax. I got insurance. I got retirement. What am I to worry about? Got Social Security? Medicare, got the whole shebang. What do I need God for? Got doctors that can fix me up? I'm in good shape. That's just full of self. That kind of talk. Me, myself, and I. No room for God. Don't read his Bible. Don't read his word. Don't take time to pray. I'm a busy man. I don't need God. No, that's not so of us. Don't say that, preacher. I hope it isn't. But I had enough of that. I want any more of it. I want to know how to be humble then. If I'm conceited and arrogant and I'm a narcissist and I love myself so much, and I don't want to hear any more about it. James, John, God rebuked you, the Lord Jesus. and we more about it. But being humble is not easy either. You say how great I am, how humble I am. Oh no. Some people can really put on the act of how humble they are. Just poor little me. I don't do anything wrong. I dress in a certain way. I dress religiously. I have my hair cut religiously. And I know how to say religious terms. And if I don't know the Lord, at least I've been Christianized. I can talk it. I may not walk it, but I can talk it. I can give you your Apostles' Creed if you'd like it, or I can give you some answers to the Bible. I can quote you some scripture if you want some scripture. So, what do you mean? It's not easy being humble. So I said, I'm not preaching on this. But to really be humble, it starts with knowing Christ. Now, here's where it starts. To have a real personal encounter with the blessed Lord Jesus Christ and having His Spirit reside in us and reading His Word, obeying His Word, and saying, I am not so great. Jesus is the one that's great. It starts with Christ. Doesn't start with your education. So you have a bachelor's degree. So you have a master's degree. So what? You still can be very proud just because you have degrees. You know, look at the cross. How can I be humble? Look at the cross. Why should I look at the cross? It's there at the cross where He died in my place. You need to see what kind of person you really are. I tell you, dear friends, you may think I'm on a broken record here, but I want to tell you something. I do not believe we realize how fallen creatures we are without Christ. I think we think we're pretty good people. Where do you hear much about the old nature? Huh? You're not going to hear it through Schuller. Last night I was turning the news and I passed 21, Channel 20, and there was Mr. Schuller. I knew he was going to say. I know what that man's going to preach. And sure enough, I was dead on. He was preaching about self-sufficiency. How great we are. How wonderful we are. I don't think you ever heard of what it means to fall in nature. Lost condition. Doesn't want to talk about sin. Just how you can be such a wonderful, you're such a wonderful person and needs to be brought out. Well, there is a place if you have lack of self-esteem. I understand that. But Christ became a slave for you and for me. That ought to humble you. So you have some gifts. And I don't have those gifts. So what? It's like a man who was a real Greek scholar and he retired. He went to this church and the preacher preached. And there was that Greek authority. I should know his name, but can't think of it in a moment. Robertson. And he got through preaching. And he went to the door and shook hands with Mr. Robertson, Dr. Robertson. And he said, you know what? He said, you're preaching this morning? So what? Spend all that time studying Dr. Robertson, and you say, look at me and say, so what, preacher? You can say there this morning, so what? We're going to stand before the Lord. So you say you're saved. That's wonderful. But He expects that there will be those of us who know Him, that we act like Him, be like Him, and do those things and be a servant, so that the day be coming that we get a commendation. Not before man, but for His commendation. In fact, the matter is, I don't even know if we're just living for ourselves, whether we really do know the Lord. There's no person below you. Oh, yes, there is. At least I'm not a druggie. There's no person below you. You don't know yourself. But by the grace of God, that's where you would be. Oh, no. I came from a good home. But by the grace of God, you'd be Adolf Hitler too. No. Yes. The potential's there in you and in me. I don't like to really say this, but it's true. I worked in the medical surgical department at Binghamton Hospital with the men, and I had to change diapers and wash men. So what? All right? So what? So what if you're gifted in areas that I'm not? So you think you can do something better than I can? So what? I may have some gifts that you don't have. We're to be equal. We're to be brethren. We're to be one. Different parts of the body, but one body in Christ being the head. Don't be worrying about who's going to get the credit. Let's just serve our Lord Jesus, even as in verse 41 and 42. I'm back to Mark 10 and closing out. Greatness is how you find greatness. Well, read it. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. Jesus called them to him and said, you know, that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles, they exercise lordship over them. Yes, they really do. Especially right now, the politicians. You know what? I got to deviate here. I'm insulted. We're having worship here this morning, and that bunch down there in Washington, D.C. are going to vote on something today. This is the Lord's Day. What's going on? Throw him out of the Congress. Throw him out of politics. Throw him out of school. Throw him out of your life. Do your thing. Don't pay attention. I'm sad. Fact of the matter is, did you pray, preacher? Yes. I've prayed concerning that situation. And you ought to pray for your country, too. The way it's gone down. Where were you? I was reading Mark 10, and I was reading verse 41, and I got to verse 42, where it talks about how the rulers over us, the Gentile rulers, they exercise lordship over us, and they're great ones, they exercise authority upon them, but so shall it not be among you. You're not to act like those politicians. Or those have authority over you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, servant. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest, I want to be something, all right? You want to be something? Then next five words, be a servant of all. That's the bottom line. Jesus, he didn't come to be served, but he came to serve. Have you called on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you and to sanctify you and to make you more like him? I desire that we might be cognizant of our needs, all of us, and that we not get to a place we don't pay attention to such verses of scriptures that we had this morning. Is there a hymn for us? Yes. What's the hymn? 186. When I survey the wondrous cross, 186.
My rich.
precious word. Perhaps, Lord, the expositions had plenty of its fault. I know it has. So take those words and still use them and say speak to our hearts. We need to be helped. What a Savior to help us in His Spirit. And now grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.